Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Lee Penn, and Lee has written an article for the Spiritual Counterfeits Project magazine, that's Tal Brooks, a magazine, and going into the background of Opus Dei. Now, we had Mr. Allen on a couple of weeks ago talking about Opus Dei, and now we've got Lee Penn talking about Opus Dei. Mr. Allen certainly talked to many of the people, at the highest levels of this secret society, and they all came forward and told him all about the society and all about all of their secrets. And I'm always a little concerned when the leaders of secret societies are willing to give, specific information on a secret society, because if you give out information on a secret society, it really isn't secret. I think Mr. Penn's material has come from people who've left the secret society. So with that as a background, Lee, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on, Dr. Monteith.
Well, what motivated you to want to look into the background of Opus Dei?
I had become aware of the movement as a rising power in the Catholic Church, and because of my assessment of the pending direction that world events may be taking, which could be a period of increasing political and religious extremism akin to 1914 to 45, I wanted to look into this movement as a possible avenue for a form of right-wing collectivist extremism. And what I have found is that this is indeed a rising cult within the Catholic Church, a cult with considerable economic and political and theological clout. And even though it wears the veil of orthodoxy, it has a different inner message.
Now, are you a Catholic?
Yes, I am. I am a conservative Catholic, and I'm a member of a Eastern Catholic church in the San Francisco Bay Area.
All right, that's fine. So I just want people to understand, you're coming from a Catholic perspective, but you're concerned about the influence within the Catholic Church of this. Is it a secret organization or not?
It is, we might use the Masons' description of themselves as a description of Opus Dei. It isn't a secret organization, as the Opus Dei people themselves say. How do you have a secret society with a 17-story skyscraper in the middle of Manhattan? But what it is an organization with secrets.
And that's what the Masons say. We're not a secret organization, we're an organization with secrets. So,
And I think that's a fair description of Opus Dei. The Constitution that they operated on from 1950 onward until 1982 has been a confidential document. Only some people who've left the movement and carried it with them have made it known to the public. The most recent Constitution has still not been translated into the vernacular except by these same exiles. There are other internal training documents that are secret, and they keep the process of they keep secret from their recruits what the full meaning of what it is to be a full-fledged member of the organization.
Well,
until they're deep in.
That sounds like the Masons, because the average person who joins Masonry is intentionally deceived about what the true purpose of Masonry is. Would that be true with Opus Dei or Opus Dei?
You might say that part of the reality is revealed to them early on, and they don't get the full story until they are a number of years into the training.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment or two with Lee Penn, and we're going to be talking about Opus Dei, which is a secret, or let's say, well, call it with an organization with secrets operating within the Catholic Church all throughout the world. Very, very wealthy and very, very powerful.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteef spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteef exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Please check out my new show on Genesis called The NutraMedical Show, 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, a pro-life physician who's worked as a contract civilian doctor with highly classified companies and the U.S. military. We bring the facts to you about the vaccines, depleted uranium, Oklahoma City nukes, 9/11, New World Orleans, the national ID, and the coming American Hiroshima, and genetic weaponized avian flu pandemic. Listen and hear experts on functional wellness, nutraceuticals, and the best science. Science-based health supplements. Inform yourself and take action to control your destiny and the destiny of America and our world with me, Dr. Bill, at NutraMedical.com. I provide thousands of top-quality nutraceuticals with the best free learning center in America to evidence-based natural healing and truth about a Christian response to the New World Disorder. Again, listen to the NutraMedical Show on Genesis Radio Network Tuesdays and Thursdays at 2 p.m. Central Time only on GCN.
So what's in your shampoo, bath soap, and dish soap? Chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodiums, formaldehydes, etc.? Read the labels. Inhaling exposure can lead to coughing, wheezing, shortness of breath, headache, and nausea. Also may be irritating to the skin and mucous membranes and cause you to seek medical help. Perfumes, also known as fragrance on a label, can indicate the presence of thousands of separate ingredients. Now, just by one example, here's what's in my Calben Pure Soap Shampoo. It's all natural, earth-friendly, it contains extra virgin cocoa butter oils and vegetable protein oils. No harsh chemicals, no animal tallow or testing. So what are you waiting for? Call now, 1-800-340-7091, and find out how a family of four can save over $1,000 per year on all their cleaning products with Calben Pure Soaps. Call Calben toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 800-340-7091, or visit calbenpuresoap.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lee was saying that the organization, this Opus Dei, really began in 1928, and it had sort of a stormy history. It was out of favor with John Paul XXIII, and Paul, I guess, the second or sixth, I guess it was, anyway. And then, of course, but recently, during the reign of the recent Pope, he was rushed through to become a saint. Now, that's very unusual. You can rush through sainthood that fast, isn't it?
It is unusual, and there were a number of opponents who tried to testify at the process to give evidence against Escrivá, but there was a decision made at the Vatican not to accept a testimony from ex-members or from opponents in this case, and quite contrary to canon law, but the powers that be wanted this move through, and they got what they wanted.
What's wrong with this? My understanding is that the organization is dedicated to a personal sanctification and to, you know, bringing people into constant awareness of the suffering of our Lord and by so doing to alter people's life and focus it on being better people.
Right, and indeed the organization says that their whole point is to allow the laity to consecrate their lives and their works to God. And as one former member said, to conquer the world for the church. And in a time of godlessness and atheism, one might think that zealous Christians who are out to expand the reign of Christ is just the thing that the world needs. The problem is that Opus Dei is built on a mentality of strict control and obedience, a kind of totalitarian mentality that is very much at variance with the way that Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount and the way that he led his apostles. If you want, I can give you some uh, readings from a book that's called The Bible of Opus Dei by many of its members as well as its opponents.
All right, go ahead.
The Way from Escrivá.
All right, go ahead and explain what's wrong with this. I mean, personal sanctification sounds like a great thing, and personal dedication and trying to lead a better life. So what's wrong with those ideas?
Well, those ideas can be misapplied. Here's what he has to say about the laity relating to clergy. Quote, when a layman sets himself up as an arbiter of morals, he frequently errs. Laymen can be only disciples. So this is saying that even though they claim that the organization is lay-led, it really is run strictly by the caste of priests within the organization. And furthermore, priests are not to be criticized. Escrivá said, a priest, whoever he may be, is always another Christ. I want you to remind you again that a priest is another Christ, and the Holy Spirit has said, do not touch my Christ, end quote. Like the good sons of Noah, cover the weaknesses you may see in your father the priest with a cloak of charity. Well, that sounds pretty much like what the bishops did for the aberrant and abusive priests over the last 50 years, and we have a billion-dollar church scandal as a result of that. Escrivá said, if to save an earthly life it is praiseworthy to use force to keep a man from committing suicide, are we not allowed to use the same coercion, holy coercion, to save the lives with the capital L of so many who are stupidly bent on killing their souls? And that's very reminiscent of the justification that was made in the Middle Ages for the Inquisition when it was said they took a statement from the Gospels and twisted it, compelled them to come in, and picked up some stuff from St. Augustine that said that this justified using force to save people's souls whether they wanted to be saved or not.
Well, now, why do people leave this organization? First of all, why do they enter it? I mean, certainly, they have, what, about 85, 88,000 members, something like that today. Why do people go into the organization? And then, after being in this and having initially signed a contract, which I don't even think they really understand, and then later on they have to sign another contract, that sounds very much like the purpose-driven church today, where you have to sign contracts that you probably don't understand the implications of. Why do they want you to sign a contract? That's sort of like taking an oath, isn't it? And we're told in the Bible not to take oaths.
The contract is their equivalent of taking vows. Since they don't want to have the trappings of a religious order, they want to consider themselves to be an entirely new thing for the church. So they don't call them vows, they call them contracts. And you are right that the new Opus Dei members take annual vows, or, as they say, sign annual contracts for the first 5 or 6 years. Then they make the fidelity a lifelong commitment after 6 years of indoctrination.
And is it education or is it indoctrination?
It's indoctrination. The members of the inner circle of Opus Dei and those who are in training for that level of membership, they're called the numeraries, they're required to make weekly confession, but only to Opus Dei priests. They're required to tell their faults and their failings to their spiritual directors on a weekly basis, and that's a forum that is not protected by the seal of the confessional, so the director can use the information he gets in any way he wishes. Their mail is read. The reading that they do is supposed to be only from a list of authors that are approved by the movement. It's kind of like the equivalent of basic training, but extended out for 6 years and more. And they're not just trying to train people for to be a soldier for a few years. They're trying to train people for life and to remold their souls.
All right, now what are you going to do with the souls? In other words, I assume that these are all loyal Catholics and loyal to the Church. How are they going to be transformed when they join this organization?
They will be transformed into obedient followers of Opus Dei who will follow the tradition set out by Escrivá. Some of what Escrivá has to say about obedience, again from his book, The Way. Obey as an instrument obeys in the hand of the artist, not stopping to consider the why and wherefore for what it is doing. Be sure you will never be directed to do anything that isn't good or for the greater glory of God. Another quote, you have come to the apostolate to submit, to annihilate yourself, not to impose your own viewpoints. Obedience, the sure way, blind obedience to your superior, the way of sanctity. Obedience in your apostolate, the only way, for in a work of God the Spirit must be to obey or to leave.
Now, what about this idea of flagellating yourself with a whip?
The idea of flagellation, that's one of the few things that Dan Brown gets right in his book. It is true that the numeraries, who are the inner circle of Opus Dei, the 20% of members who are most committed to the movement, do indeed flagellate themselves. They're supposed to flagellate themselves with a cat of nine tails 33 times once a week and to lay on the strokes with vigor. And they are also supposed to wear the chiliche, the spike chain, around their thigh for 2 hours a day, except on Sundays and during festal seasons like Christmas and Easter.
Well, now, why in heaven's name would you want to do something as inflict pain on yourself?
Escrivá had a great attachment to pain. He said things like, "In our poor present life, let us drink to the last drop from the chalice of pain. Give thanks as a very special favor for the holy abhorrence you feel toward yourself." Quote, and another quote, "Blessed be pain, loved be pain, sanctified be pain, glorified be pain." So it's a form of spiritual masochism where they think that what they're doing is identifying themselves with the sufferings of Christ and being penitent. But in fact, what they're doing is telling God and telling the world that they're so holy that they can take on these sufferings and punish themselves for the greater glory of what they think is God.
Well, certainly my understanding is that many times when you go into this organization, now they suddenly isolate you. They won't let you have any contact with your family. It's almost like the Moonies do, to completely isolate people from their surroundings. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, and again, especially for the inner circle, the numeraries, that once you go into training there, that you're not supposed to go back to your family except maybe at a few occasions a year, and it is considered dangerous for people, spiritually dangerous, to return to their families. As one former member said, that ties of affection would be quickly restored at family events, and that attendance at baptisms and weddings of family members is considered particularly dangerous.
So basically,
so the idea is to cut people off from the outside world so that they are remade into new people.
So basically then this is sort of a personal transformation, but where do you end up when you get all done with this? In other words, certainly we would all like to be more holy, we'd all like to be more, you know, like our Lord, but certainly you can't lead a regular life, or can you, you know, and be part of the society if you are part of this inner circle?
The inner circle leads a very rigorous life, and one reason why a lot of people who are members of this thing leave is that they become exhausted to the point of breakdown by the requirements of being at this level. They're not just supposed to have a high-level job, but they also are required to attend Mass daily, to do a half hour of mental prayer in the morning and again at night, doing daily spiritual reading from the Bible and from other movement-approved books, reciting the rosary every day, which takes about 20 minutes if you recite it meditatively, nightly examination of conscience, plus a bunch of spiritual retreats per year. All of that plus a job where, and they get, since they live at Opus Dei centers, they make over their paychecks to the movement. So if you have a bunch of people with high-level jobs, and numeraries are supposed to either have doctorates or to be able to obtain this level of degree, you have a bunch of very disciplined, motivated people with high-level jobs who give their money to the movement, and then you've got a rich movement.
Well, now, don't you have, you're talking really about billions of dollars, several billion dollars in holdings of this this group of about 88,000 people?
That's a fair estimate, and when we come back, I can give you some numbers for the U.S. and for the U.K. that attest to the wealth of Opus Dei.
And there are not that many members in the United States and in Great Britain. I think they're mostly over, what is in Spain?
They're mostly in Spain. 3,000 in the U.S., about 49,000 in continental Europe, and most of those are in Spain and Italy and Portugal.
All right, we're going to be back in just a couple of moments here with Lee Penn as we explore this this strange secret society. It really is, well, let's call it a society with secrets. But what are those secrets, and how are they impacting on the world today?
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
If you think your engine is safe by having the oil changed every 3,000 miles, think again. Every time you start your car, your engine creates friction between the moving parts. These moving parts wear against each other, and the result is small metal particles circulating through your oil, causing premature wear and damage to your engine. Oil filters do a good job of trapping the large metal particles, but they will not trap the most harmful tiny particles. These tiny particles circulate constantly through your oil, and over time, your engine begins to show signs of wear. This is why you need the Filter Mag. The Filter Mag is a powerful magnet that holds itself to the outside of your oil filter, trapping the tiny metal particles to the inside wall of the filter, extending the life of your oil and ultimately extending the life of your engine. The reusable Filter Mag is maintenance-free, installs in 2 seconds, and lasts forever. So what are you waiting for? Go to filtermag.com. That's filtermag.com. Or call 800-345-8376. That's 800-345-8376.
Do you desire to increase your energy levels and relieve your pain and stress without chemicals, drugs, or expensive supplements? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. For those unique, one-of-a-kind holiday items, click on trivortex.com to give those special gifts that will improve health and well-being, as well as amaze and astound. This is Brian David Anderson, researcher and inventor of the Trivortex technology products, wishing you and yours a joyous holiday season.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Lee Penn, and he's talking about a secret Catholic society now, or a society with secrets. And, of course, in a society such as ours, why would anybody want to keep secrets away from the average individual, and certainly even from the people who are in the process of joining the organization? Well, this is, of course, dramatically described in a book called... Da Vinci Code, and certainly this is now being made into a movie with Tom Hanks. The purpose of the movie and of the book, in my estimation, is to undermine the Christian religion. I believe it's a heretical, much of it there. And yet, of course, there's a lot here that Opus Dei really is real. At least there would appear to be some people who are members of Priory Sion, but I don't think anything the way that is laid out there, and I don't think that there's any evidence at all that Leonardo da Vinci was part of this other conflicting secret society. But anyway, there's a lot about Opus Dei, and of course some people really in Opus Dei think that this publicity is really pretty great. In fact, apparently some of the people in Opus Dei have been very happy that at least the information came out about them, and I think it's probably helped in the recruiting. Have you heard that at all, Lee?
Yes, indeed. The several Opus Dei members have said things like, as one fellow from Italy, an Opus Dei professor, said, "Anyone with a historical or religious base can refute it. I rather liked it. It's a good thriller." And in 2005, a British press spokesman for Opus Dei said, 10 million people have now heard of Opus Dei, thanks to the Da Vinci Code. This can only be a good thing. 2005 is going to be the year of Opus Dei." And in Italy, there's a huge publishing house called Mondadori, and they're the Italian publisher of the Da Vinci Code. The same house was founded by a man who was an admirer of Opus Dei, and they, in 1994, published a papal book called Crossing the Threshold of Hope, which was an interview between a pro-Opus Dei journalist and the Pope. So there... That's an interesting connection right there, that the same firm is promoting both Opus Dei books and the Da Vinci Code.
Well, what is the end result of this whole thing? Where is it going to go, and how is it going to impact on the lives of the people within it, and how is it going to impact upon society?
The Opus Dei movement is growing within the Catholic Church, and they consider the Dan Brown episode to have been the equivalent of putting their message before 10 or 20 million of Dan Brown's readers, and they think it's good marketing. And where they're going with this is that they want to increase their power within the church. They consider themselves to be the saviors of the church, and they think that their movement is going to determine the course of the church until the end of time. Here's a couple of quotes from Escrivá. He said, "The task that awaits us is immense. It is a sea without shores. For as long as there are men on earth, no matter how much the techniques of production may change, they will still have some type of work that can be offered to God and sanctified." And he later on said in 1968 that Opus Dei will never have any problems of adaptation to the world. It will never find itself in need of being brought up to date. And not only will the work never die, it will never grow old. One of his followers said, "Our founder's message and example are not just for a few, but for millions of men and women until the end of time." So they expect their movement to stick around and to influence the church decisively until the second coming of Christ.
Well, of course, but how are they going to influence the church? Supposedly they're sanctifying themselves by beating themselves and by meditating and all of these things, but how is that going to impact on the church as a whole? How is that going to impact on society? Or is there some other secret that they're not telling us?
Well, I can go into how they are rising in power within the church, and I can also go into what they have done with the social influence they've got so far, which is a fair forecast for what they would do if they get more power.
All right, well, what have they done, first of all, as far as the church is concerned?
There are now two Opus Dei cardinals, and the supporters of the movement are rising within the Curia, which is the Vatican bureaucracy that helps the Pope run the church. And John Allen himself said that Opus Dei does seem disproportionately represented in the Roman Curia for an organization of its size, and he also noted that the supporters of the movement are rising within the Curia, and opponents are marginalized or made to retire.
Well, of course, they apparently have a 17-story building in New York City. That you got to have a lot of money to have a 17-story building.
You do indeed, and you have to. And the movement has separate entrances for men and women, and there's even separate parking areas for men and women.
And of course, but both men and women, many of those, if they're numeraries, they will actually live there full time. And this
right, in strictly segregated areas. So it's like having a monastery and a convent in the same quarters, but strictly walled off from each other.
And of course, some of these people are actually out in society having very, very important positions. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Okay.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Brr, it's cold outside, so at least you don't have to worry about your car overheating, right? Wrong. When I come back, I'll tell you why winterizing your car is more than just a cool thing to do. What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit TornadoAir.com or go to Pep Boys, Napa, or AutoZone today.
Summer's gone, but the threat of overheating didn't go with it. Yes, overheating can be a problem year-round, and the culprit could be low coolant level, caused by seepage from your radiator. Often, adding radiator sealer and conditioner to your reservoir does the trick in sealing these slow leaks. But warning, if your car does overheat, be careful removing the radiator cap, because although it's freezing outside, the coolant's above the boiling point inside. To avoid scalding, wait until the engine cools, then use a handful of rags to remove the cap. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Cool weather brings cool cars. I don't think so. A cooling system can run too hot or too cold if not prepared for winter. Here's your to-do. Ask your local shop to perform the BG coolant flush. A simple test strip tells if your coolant's protecting the engine from temperature extremes or breaking down and corroding. The BG chemistry cleans the system, then adds new coolant with conditioners. Ask your shop for a BG coolant flush or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Lee Penn. And Lee Penn certainly has written a fascinating article. In fact, he's written a number of fascinating articles for the Spiritual Counterfeits Project. Lee, how can people get in touch with the organization? How can they get copies of your article?
They can order them through the website for SCP, which is www.scp-inc.org. Again, scp-inc.org. They can also call the office during California working hours, 9 to 5, 510-540-0300, and they can order this article and the follow-up article, which will be coming out in the spring. And if they order the article, of course, they will get the entire journal with other interesting stories by Alan Morrison and by Tal Brook and other SCP authors.
All right. Give that telephone number one more time. You always have to give the telephone number twice because people can never remember it.
510-540-0300.
All right. 5-5-10-4-3-0-0-3-0. 540-0300. And we're talking with Lee Penn about his article on Opus Dei. So basically, we were talking about the impact it was going to have on the Catholic Church, and you were mentioning that it would appear that they have two cardinals there, and here's an organization of 88,000 people in a church with 1.25 billion people. So that's pretty good representation. So they must have some friends in very high places.
Yes, well, certainly John Paul II was a friend of Opus Dei, and so was Benedict XVI. And his personal secretary, George Gonschwein, has been a teacher at an Opus Dei university in Rome, and Benedict has retained as his press secretary Joaquin Navarro Valls, who is an Opus Dei numerary, and he was the one who was the chief press secretary and spin doctor for John Paul II. Navarro Valls is an interesting character. He was an Opus Dei numerary, has been for decades. And one of his, started off as an actor, and then he became a medical doctor, a psychiatrist. And one of his early books was called Manipulation in Advertising.
All right, so, and now he is what, the press secretary?
The press secretary for John Paul II, and now for Benedict XVI.
Right. Well, anyway, now, of course, then, what about the impact on the individual? And you were talking about, you know, how these people, the members of this secret organization. Many of them, of course, will live in this, in these various dormitories that they have, very elaborate structures. They have a 17-story building there in New York City, and you're talking about an organization with how many people here in the United States?
There are about 3,000 here in the States, and there are maybe about 500 in Britain, so not terribly many people in the British influence world, 49,000 in continental Europe, especially in Spain, Italy, and Portugal, about 26,000 in Latin America, maybe 5,000 in the rest of the world, including Africa and Asia.
Now, you use the term numerary and supernumerary. We want to explain that?
Certainly. A numerary is the inner ring of Opus Dei. These are laymen and women who have consecrated their lives to Opus Dei and hold jobs in the secular world and are celibate. About 20% of the Opus Dei members are numeraries, and then there are 10% of the members are celibate but live outside of the Opus Dei dormitories. These are the associates. So that leaves 70% of the members who are married and live in the world, pursue their own careers. These are the supernumeraries.
All right, so there are various levels of this, depending upon what you're willing, of course, to sacrifice to get to the upper levels. What's the advantage in being in the upper levels? What is this? Is this a personal sanctification? Is this an effort to do God's work here in the world? Is it an effort somehow to transform the world? Is there anything mystical about this whole experience?
I think that people start this process because they might be looking for certainty and order in a very uncertain and disorderly world. They might simply be lonely and disconnected, and as such are vulnerable for the same kind of recruitment that the Moonies use. And it is true that the Opus Dei centers emphasize education of youth and outreach to college students, so they can begin study circles and sports centers and counseling centers that can reach out to 10 and 12-year-olds, and kids as young as 16 can begin the process of recruitment into Opus Dei, and in some cases they're told not to tell their families about it. Then they can begin making annual contracts at age 18, and if they go all the way in, they could become life members at age 23.
Now, of course, by the contract, I think you should explain that you actually, when you go into this, you sign a contract, and of course you renew this contract on a yearly basis until you finally get to the end of this more or less secret training, and then you have to sign your ultimate contract for life. Is that right?
That's right. And many ex-members have said that Opus Dei teaches that those who leave the movement have lost their salvation, that someone who has an Opus Dei vocation and then abandons it has lost his soul. And it's the same way that the Legionaries of Christ, which is another cult within the Catholic Church, their slogan is lost vocation, sure damnation.
In other words, they keep you there by fear.
Correct.
Well, now, why do people actually leave? And the people who are coming out, what are their thoughts about it? Certainly, was it just too demanding? They could not, you know, apply themselves in this matter? Is there any way, like it is with the Masons, that once you're in the organization, other people are going to promote you into higher levels? Because this is what happens in Masonry, and they help one another until many times they will dominate industry or dominate the courts or dominate education or the military. Is there something like that, similar in the as it is in the Masons?
Yes, at least to a certain extent. Certainly, Opus Dei does have some real influence in the secular world. Father McCloskey, who's an Opus Dei priest in Washington, D.C., has baptized a number of prominent conservatives into the Catholic Church, including Robert Novak and Republican Senator Sam Brownback from Kansas, Larry Kudlow, who was a colleague of Novak's at CNN. There are reports that Justice Scalia and Justice Clarence Thomas are sympathetic to Opus Dei. I've read an article by Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania, which is clearly supportive of Opus Dei and the Legionaries of Christ and the other what are called new ecclesial movements in the church. One of the people who's worked at the Catholic Information Center, which McCloskey ran for a number of years, was the wife of John Poindexter, the Bush administration official. So you might think of the Opus Dei in this country as the neocon Republicans at prayer.
All right. Well, now, is there anything that the people who've come out have actually admitted, other than the fact that this was just a very, very hard life, and they were intent upon perhaps having this organization as such have an important part to play as far as politics, as far as government? Are they aiming to transform our government, to utilize their power over politicians to get them to vote a certain way, or what, or judges to come up with decisions that would be favorable to their position? Certainly many of the positions of the Catholic Church, their positions of morality, and now Pope Benedict has come out, and you know, as far as the gays and the priesthood, and he's really taken what I think is a position that should have been taken a long time ago.
Well, yeah, there are some things that Opus Dei supports that almost any Orthodox Christian from any confession could support. But how you get to that position is yet another matter. And it's one thing to use persuasion and argument. It's another to use spiritual coercion and intimidation. And I would consider that teaching people that if you leave the movement, you're damned is a form of spiritual intimidation.
Somebody had called in, and they say if they keep minutes of the meetings, are they open to the public, or do they have meetings, do they have minutes, things like that sort? Are there certain books that are secret, or are there certain rituals that are secret as they are within the Masons, and that people really don't understand their significance?
There are public meetings, and they do give retreats that are available to the public. There are 60 some Opus Dei centers around the country where people can. To attend Mass or to receive spiritual direction. But it's also true that there are secret and confidential documents that are used in the training and education of Opus Dei members. As I'd mentioned earlier, the Constitution of 1950 has never been officially released. It was sneaked out by some former members, and there's an unofficial translation at the Opus Dei Awareness Network website. There are other secret books, a book called Praxis that lays down the details about how numeraries are supposed to live, down to the number of handkerchiefs and pairs of underpants that people can own. There's Chronica, meaning chronicle, a teaching journal that is private. There's a book of ceremonies. There's the internal rules of administration. There's an Opus Dei catechism of 500 questions that is kept under wraps, to the level of people are given copies of this, sent off to memorize some of it, and then they have to turn their copies back into the administrator of their dormitory.
In other words, they don't want this information getting out.
Correct.
But what is the information? We know, for instance, with the Masons, they were not supposed to release copies of their book, Morals and Dogma, because it actually carried the truth about what Masonry was about. Is there a comparable book or comparable minutes within the other organization, and what are the secrets there? We know what the secrets of Masonry are. Are there other secrets in Opus Dei or Dei that we really don't know about?
What you would get from reading all of the Opus Dei works, and I have to acknowledge here that I've read only a small fraction of this confidential material, that which has been leaked out by the opponents and survivors of the movement. But I think what you would get if you read Chronica, for example, and I've read some extracts from it, is a clear view of the Opus Dei vision, worldview, and methodology that would show Opus Dei's dedication to a very hierarchical, centralized, controlled, authoritarian type of society. It would be a society that is Catholic and Christian in name, but would have far more to do with power, authority, control, money, and domination than it would with the gospel of Christ.
Well, now you say there is a website. Is there an Opus Dei website, and then there's an Opus Dei Survivors website?
Yes, the Survivors website, that's one of the few elements of truth in the Dan Brown book. There really is a book, there really is a site which he mentions called the Opus Dei Awareness Network, and it's a group for survivors and opponents of Opus Dei, and their website is www.odan.org. Again, odan.org.
And what would we find if we went there?
There you would find their own translations of the Opus Dei Constitution of 1950 and the Constitution of 1982, and a collection of accounts by Opus Dei survivors, and a collection of news stories about Opus Dei and its role in the world.
But basically, what you see is this is a power structure, an effort really to transform the world by giving power to the leaders of this organization?
Correct. And they've given some indication of what they would do by the kinds of regimes and movements and business practices they've supported. I'm going to give you a heads up with some information that will be coming out in the SCP article this spring, if this is a good time to go ahead with that.
Go right ahead.
First of all, it is true, as most of the critics of Opus Dei allege, that Opus Dei flourished within and aligned itself with the Franco regime in Spain. That was the dictatorial government that ruled Spain from 1939 to 1975. And in the late 1960s, there were three Opus Dei numeraries and 12 supporters of Opus Dei who had cabinet posts in the Franco government. So this was Opus Dei and its supporters had 15 of 18 members in that cabinet in the late 1960s. A former member of the movement says that the movement, quote, set out to see if they could take charge of the Spanish state, and they nearly succeeded. Now, we have to note, of course, that the Franco dictatorship took power after a very brutal civil war in which the previous communist government had done a bloody persecution of the church. And Franco responded when he won that war by killing 100,000 or so of the opposition and maintaining a very strict dictatorship for many years. And Opus Dei supported this, and so did the Vatican. The Vatican actually made a concordat in 1953 allowing the Franco regime to sign off on the choice of bishops, and that concordat remained in place till after Vatican II.
Well, now, of course, wasn't part of the violence that followed the revolution or the Revolutionary War there, because there'd been certainly a great deal of slaughter of the Catholics there.
Well, the Catholics were slaughtered during the Civil War by the communists, and then the Franco people responded by slaughtering the communists and anyone whom they thought might be a communist. So it was definitely atrocity and counter-atrocity.
Okay, fine.
And the end result of this, if you consider that Spain is still a center of Opus Dei influence, and that for several decades there was a very authoritarian Opus Dei influence regime that governs Spain, well, you might think that as a result of this, the church is in great shape in Spain and that the people in Spain are very devout and pious. Well, no, unfortunately. Rates of mass attendance are low. There's a great deal of paganism and neo-paganism, lots of militant atheism and practical atheism. So the Spanish church right now is in just about as bad a shape as the Catholic Church in the rest of Western Europe. So whatever the solution to this crisis of the church is, it appears that a few decades of confessional dictatorship and Opus Dei power in the government is not the solution.
Well, do they have any influence in the government as it exists today?
Actually, they had a fair bit of influence in the conservative government that was in power in Spain during the last few years until the Spanish voters threw them out and put the socialists in power last year. They have supporters in the Spanish monarchy a number of supporters in the court of the court of King Juan Carlos and in the party the Alianza Popular that was the governing party in Spain until recent election. They also founded Spain's prominent business school. They helped to run Spain's third largest bank.
In other words, it sounds very much, you know, as this is the power and financial structure that is going to influence and control as much of society as they can. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it would.
All right, fine. Well, we're out of time. Lee, did you have a parting thought before we let you go?
The main thing that we can do to deal with Opus Dei is to avoid being taken in by easy solutions and to pray for the people who are in this cult and in other cults so that they might be saved and converted. If we pray for our enemies, that's the best thing we can do for them.
And you really believe that, of course, that this is a cult as such?
Yes, I do.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much. It's been a pleasure to have you with us, and we'll be talking to you later.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we've put out both sides, and if you'd like to hear my interview with Mr. Allen, we'll be able to get that for you. So we're going to give you both sides and let you decide for yourself.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement. Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Government is best which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community.
I never voted for a war criminal. Have you?
Real conservatives hate Bush.
Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626.
If only our president would listen to his God.
Perhaps Jenna Bush.
Osama bin Forgotten.
Go to LibertyStickers.com and express your freedom of speech today.
Heart disease continues to be the leading cause of death in America. Why? Haven't people heard about the positive effects of Cardivite? Cardivite drops and capsules were designed to improve your cardiovascular health and circulatory well-being. The all-natural ingredients in Cardivite begin immediately working to increase metabolism in your heart muscle tissue, mitigating heart rhythm abnormalities, and improving oxygen and blood flow in the heart. Right now, as a special for GCN listeners, you'll get a 4-month supply for only $99 plus shipping, a 30% savings off the regular price. This offer is only for a limited time. So call now, 1-877- 1-928-8822. Cartavite drops and capsules may help improve your circulation and cardiovascular health, but that's up to you. Take the first step with Cartavite. Call toll-free 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com for more information. Don't let heart disease beat you. Beat the odds and do your body right with Cartavite.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and there are lots of strange things going on in the world today, and we don't have the answers to all of them, but here's another society with secrets. Well, that's what they say about Masonry, and of course, those of you who looked into the background of Masonry will realize, of course, that they worship a different god. Anyway, if you'd like more information about Masonry, if you'd like more information about Opus Dei, we're going to have probably several interviews. We already have several interviews with Mr. Penn, and we'll be having more. We do have our interview with Mr. Allen. Hopefully one day we can put together a four-tape set on this. John Allen did write an excellent book on Opus Dei from a pro-Opus Dei point of view. So we don't have all the answers, but we hope we can provoke your thought and question. The one thing we do want to point out is that there are secret societies in the world today, and if you follow many of them back, these ideas come from the ancient mystery religions. Now, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get either the book or the video or the audio tape. Then you need to get our pamphlets on the occult hierarchy, because they will take you back to the ancient mystery religions from whence all of these ideas came for the New World Order and the New World Religion, and the transformation of religion as we've known it in the past is something different. And they are using America's wealth and America's military power to bring about this New World Order. That's what, of course, is going on over in Iraq today. But you must understand that the purpose we are in Iraq is to replace the governments of Syria and Iran and Saudi Arabia. And if you doubt that, you really need to get copies of my newsletter where we actually quote from an interview I saw between William Crystal and Ed Koppel. And William Crystal went on, I guess it was Nightline, and laid out the whole plan of the new conservative movement to replace all the governments in the Middle East. And that's why we can't pull out. And if it looked like there was going to be a solution, why we would have to do something else to provoke violence over there, because we have to have a justification for going to war with Syria and with Iran. Those of you who saw 60 Minutes yesterday will recall that in the evening, why, of course, they were talking about what's going on in Lebanon, how obviously the government of Syria is behind all of these assassinations, and I don't know whether they are or not, but I do know that programs such as that are focusing our attention on the danger of Syria and will be used down the line to justify our going to war with Syria. I also do know, and I feel 99% certain, that Saddam's weapons of mass destruction are hidden in Syria, and I believe we're going to find those when we go to war there, and that's going to be great for the president's popularity. Is this right? Well, let's wait and see. Many strange things are going on today. Let me suggest, if you'd like to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you'd like to get the material we have on Masonry, I could suggest books like The Unholy Alliance by James Wardner, excellent book on Masonry, Behind the Lodge Door by Paul Fisher, and certainly the three pamphlets we have on the occult hierarchy. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, we ask you, of course, to go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day on the Internet. On several networks we're on, you can get our shortwave frequencies. You'll be able to, if you're interested in getting Telstar 5 equipment for that, why, then you could listen to us 9 hours a day, along with our other good friends, Joyce Riley and Chuck Chris Meyer and Pastor Butch Paul, 24 hours a day of Christian programming. We need to reach the American people to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. We ask you to pray for America, We ask you to pray for revival for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.